Welcome once again to the messages of Christ the Cornerstone Anglican Church. In this episode, Pastor Andrew beautifully lays out the parable of the mustard seed and what holds us back from moving mountains.
I'm wanting to touch today on a story that comes out of Mark 9 verse 15 onwards and also Matthew 17. Where Jesus is really laying to heart a challenge to his disciples to have faith. What I'm going to do is read Mark's version, but then at certain points just point out where Matthew adds or says it differently. And when they came back to the disciples, this was Jesus with Peter and John, when they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. And immediately when the entire crowd saw Jesus, they were amazed and began running up to meet him and greet him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son possessed with a spirit which makes him mute, and whenever it seizes him, it dashes him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. And I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it." Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty big ask, isn't it? You know, get him out of the guy. And they tried. And they'd seen Jesus do this time and time again, and they implemented, I'm sure, the very principles, even some of the words that Jesus himself had said, to no avail. But this is a tough one, this one. This boy is really seriously possessed, and dealing with him is really, really difficult. But Jesus answers to them and said, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you?" Now that sounds pretty frustrated, doesn't it? Even though they knew this, Jesus was just so frustrated they couldn't get it. Well, at least that's what it seems to be saying. And could you imagine how you would react if this morning I said, "You are an unbelieving mob. You are an unbelieving mob. You pack up your bags and out the door." So there's some fairly strong words Jesus is using. Matthew has these words, "O unbelieving and perverted generation." You perverse mob. Right, who's staying? Yeah, we're gone. And to God's graciousness, I've never heard him say that yet to me. He has told me to grow up sometimes, but that's different. But when you go back and look into the Greek of these two words for unbelieving and perverted, they have a different or an extended meaning, and it's having been perverted generation. So Jesus is talking about the impact of their own Jewish culture and its religious beliefs at that point on their hearts, deeply ingrained into their souls from a toddler up, being taught the law. And basically, here's this community of God's people who haven't heard from God for 400 years. So when you haven't heard from God for 400 years, it begins to structure the whole religious belief system and its outworking. And we find the Pharisees in their attempt to deal with this loss of the word of God was to make the term Yahweh a word we don't speak. And so they replaced it by Adonai, which means Lord, which you can speak, but Yahweh you can write, but you can't speak it. And the peculiar thing of the result of that is it pushes God further away. It puts God up there in the universe somewhere. It keeps him at bay. And you can understand if God hasn't turned up for 400 years, you may not want to try and work it out. Well, maybe you will, and they did. But then they would load rule upon rule of interpretation of the law, so much so that day by day the people find it more and more difficult to follow the path that they should. And in the midst of that, you've got the Sadducees that don't believe in the resurrection, and miracles are around, but they are a problem. So all of that sits in the hearts of the disciples and affects their faith. And I think Jesus said, unless you deal with that culture that lives in you, then you can't have the faith that you need. So let's go back to the story. And Jesus said to the father of the boy, bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him, and when he had saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling about and foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the boy's father cried out and began saying, I do believe, help my unbelief. And he may have said that a number of times. I believe, and you can imagine why he's got a bit of doubt after all the antics of these disciples in trying to kick this thing out and not being successful. So he does have a heart for God. I think when he says, I believe, his heart is really aimed at God. But he's been so desperate for so long. So there's that element of doubt. And we have that element of doubt often. When we have great need, either for ourselves or family, will he or won't he? Will God come to the party? It's a similar question that the leper asked Jesus. And the leper said, if you can, please heal me. That's a paraphrase, but what the leper was saying is, I believe, but will you do it? Not can you do it, but will you do it? And Jesus puts his hand on the shoulder of this guy and prays, and he's absolutely cleansed from leprosy. The most startling part of that was that Jesus touched him. Which you don't touch lepers. That's a no-no. They live in a colony all by themselves, isolated. But he touched the man. And I think that did more than simply heal the leprosy. I think it went to the very depths of his being, healing and restoring an utterly broken heart and bringing it back to life. So the father cries out, help my unbelief. This is what Jesus does. And when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. And after crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, came out. And the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them thought he was dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he got up. What an awesome finish to a difficult situation. That the element of a slight touch of faith was all that was needed to heal this young boy. So when the crowds receded, the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could not we cast it out?" Now I'm going to read the Matthew response because it's a little bit longer. "Because of the littleness of your faith." It's almost like when Peter got out of the boat. Why didn't the other 11 get out as well? And then Jesus calls Peter's faith little. So if his faith is little, what about the other 11 characters still sitting in the boat? "Because the littleness of your faith." And once again, it seems like Jesus is really having a go at them. But once again, he wants to dig into the depths of their heart, the problems in your heart. It's not that you can't do it, but will you do it? And if you will do it, then something in you has to shift and change. "Because the littleness of your faith, truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it shall move. And nothing shall be impossible to you." I remember putting that statement on a board in a church in Melbourne, which said, "All things are possible." And then someone came along and put, "Only with God." Well, as if we're going to do without him, for goodness sake. Jesus is not just saying, just use your human power, just believe strong enough humanly, and you can do it. No, Jesus, in other times when he's raised the same question, says that all things are possible with God and us. Right? We always want God to do it, and we miss our component of it. Jesus says, in the amount of faith you need to move a mountain, it's the size of a mustard seed, which is one of the smallest seeds of any plant. That's not a lot of faith. So why don't we make it? If that's all we need, why don't we achieve it? And you've got to come back and ask that question. What have you done with the perversion of the culture in which you have been raised in, which has been ingrained into your psyche, which lays at the heart of what you do? One of the things that, as we look at that thought, what do we do? How do we get that faith? And then the passage finishes with Jesus saying, "But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting," which is really hard to know what that means, because I would have thought they were praying. In our core competency, we challenge ourselves to have faith. And in that, we note that we are often assailed by unbelief and misbelief to the extent that we actually stop short of doing what God asks. But to me, faith has one result. It's an action. It's an action of bringing us to a place where we will obey the instruction of God, that we'll step out and do what he asked. We need faith to enable us to do that. And then when we do that, the incredible power of God comes into the situation and transforms it, possibly healing or equipping or provision. As we have faith, and all the faith that we need is that to come to a place where we say, "Yes, Lord." I want to share a story. I find this one of the most beautiful answers from God to one of my mates, who was a co-worker in King's Cross, who was just in absolute despair. He thought that God had failed him. He thought God didn't care about him anymore. He was stone broke, with no way of getting money. I mean, we fed him and all that because he's one of our team, gave him a bed, but the extra cash you often need. And I said to him, "Look, why don't you come to church on Sunday night?" And so we jumped in my car and we're driving across the Harbour Bridge, and I realised that to get across the Harbour Bridge going from the city to the north is free of charge. But to come back the other way is 20 cents. So the question is, can God provide 20 cents? And I asked my mate, do you have 20 cents? He says, I'm dead broke. That's why I'm in despair. Oh, okay. And I knew he didn't have enough petrol to go the long way around. So we got to church, had a beautiful service, evening prayer, and coffee afterwards, really great. And then I remembered the 20 cents. And I was going to ask one of my mates there whether he could lend us 20 cents when this voice spoke in my head and said, I thought you asked the Holy Spirit to provide 20 cents. So I stopped. After supper, we got out into my car and I asked my mate whether he had 20 cents. He said, no. I said, neither do I. We better pray. And so we prayed. And I just felt that I should go down a couple of blocks to one of my friends and go up and see her. So I parked outside her place. My mate didn't want to come with me. And I went up and she was making jam. We sat and talked for 15 minutes. I said, look, I've got to go. I've got somebody in the car. He said, well, before you go, I want to give you something. And I thought, great, she's going to give me 20 cents. Nah, she gave me a jar of jam. So I'm walking down the steps to the car thinking, well, maybe we can take this up the street and sell it for 20 cents and get home after all this. And I hopped in the car. And I said to my mate, we still can't go home. He said, oh, yes, we can. I said, no, we haven't got 20 cents. Oh, yes, we have. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, I got a bit bored. While you're up there, I decided to go for a walk. And I walked down the street and tripped and fell into the gutter. And there in the gutter were 2 10-cent coins. And his faith came back. Absolutely. God said, I love you. I don't know how he arranged the 2 10-cent coins. It has to be someone put it there. Well, obviously someone might have dropped it there. But for my mate to fall over in that place and find those 2 coins can only be God. And God declaring, I want you to know I love you. And that's what Jesus was trying to get to his disciples here. That the perversion of your upbringing has robbed you of that simple element of faith that touches heaven and brings heaven to earth. And we need to get a hold of that. Because we've got a few mountains that need to be shoveled out. Not the molehills that we've made into mountains, but there are 1 or 2 mountains that need to go in your life, my life, in our church's life. And all the faith we need to shift them is the size of a mustard seed. But to do it, we have to breach our culture. We have to breach its teaching, its instructions, its rebellion, its fears, its anxieties. And if we breach that in our heart, then as Jesus said, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move and nothing will be impossible for you. So as we pray, I'm going to pray for our hearts. Sometimes we hold theories that are useless, but they're theories, or a philosophy, and it prevents us taking the simple steps of faith to do and to be what God wants us to be. And as a church, to breach our cultures, bitterness, its fears, its unbelief. And there are a couple of passages where it's noted that Jesus went to his own hometown and they rejected him. So one of those is in Mark 6:3-6. It says Mark just had an encounter with the community in the synagogue. Now Jesus could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And I said to the Lord, you know, well, we might have one or two people who have unbelief. How will that affect our church? And he said the problem was the community had unbelief. Not individuals, but the community as a crowd, as a group, had unbelief, and that's why he couldn't do many works. But he can with you and I. If we will preach the culture and ask him. And so I'm going to pray for us that God will do that in the part of our hearts not yet been yielded. We've yielded a lot of our heart to God. There's that element that has not yet been yielded. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, you taught us that we could say to this mountain, move from here to there, if we have the faith of a mustard seed, and that we could breach our culture. So, Father, through Jesus, we ask that you would set us free in our hearts from the culture of old, from the cultures which we've grown up in, from the ingrained teaching and processes that we've learned from that culture. Lord, that you would break up that area of our heart, that we might be able to rise up with a mustard seed of faith and do the impossible for your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can hear more great messages from Pastor Andrew by checking out our Facebook page or looking up St. Jude the Apostle on the net.